All right, now we turn to Iraq. I'm Antonia Yuhas, and since July, Iraq has been embroiled in twin crises, political failures inciting mass, often deadly street protests, and a crippling and also deadly heat wave with droughts and wildfires. We're joined today by Iraq-based journalist Samia Kulab, a senior correspondent at Iraq Oil Report. She covers oil, security, and politics in Iraq. She works both in Erbil and Baghdad. We're fortunate to have her with us today from New Jersey, where she's on book tour for her new book, Escape from Syria. Thanks for being with us, Samia.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. All right, let's just start in with the protests that have been happening since July. Can you describe what's been happening and the nature of the protests?
Yeah, so the protests have been, as you said, have started in the start of July. They've been mostly concentrated in southern Iraq, though there was small-scale protests in Baghdad, the capital. There are several factors contributing to why the protests are happening right now. The lack of steady work, unemployment among youth is quite high in Iraq. Basic services such as electricity and drinking water, and all of this compounded by the very scorching summer heat. So we've been seeing sit-ins outside of gates of oil fields in Basra in particular, but also elsewhere in outside government buildings, municipality buildings, areas that represent Iraq's government presence is where these protests have been concentrated.
And talk about the nature of the protests and who's protesting. What are they doing in the protests, and who's protesting?
Right. So it's a good question to ask in Iraq, because often protests, there are certain political entities in a lot of cases in the background directing protests, getting people on the streets. We've seen this in other protest movements, especially in response to government economic reforms in the electricity sector and customs, etc. But this seems to be a genuine movement sparked by the people's displeasure in what they perceive to be poor governance and inaction around basic service delivery. So these protests aren't new. They have been going on since 2003, but they are significant in this moment because they do coincide with fairly tense times in Iraqi politics. The government formation process, for example, has been delayed due to accusations of fraud in the May 12th election, and a recount of votes in certain polling stations was conducted as a result. But the process greatly undermined public trust, that is why these protests, which happen, it's not uncommon for them to happen in the summertime, but it is quite significant in this point in time in particular, given what's happening in Iraqi politics.
So tell us more about what is happening with the politics. And you're saying that the protests have been common since 2003, which is, of course, the year of the U.S. invasion of Iraq. So these are protests that have been taking place against the U.S.-installed government, which has essentially continued to remain in power since that time. So can you tell us the nature of the politics this summer?
Yes. So like I said, the main kind of issue is the lag in government formation, which happened because the results of the election were quite contested and quite surprising, and that has undermined kind of how the people see the people that they, you know, the people leading the country.
What was surprising about the election results?
There was a lot of controversy over the electronic machines that were used to tabulate these results. A lot of voters said that they didn't really understand, they weren't given enough information before. There wasn't a lot of public awareness about how these machines would work. And then there seemed to be, in some polling stations, a difference between the manual recount of certain in certain polling stations. Sorry, there was a manual recount, and there was a difference between what the electronic machine counted and what, in certain polling stations, a hand recount produced. So this created discrepancy in certain results, and that's why there was a recount that was done.
So just to back up, so these were parliamentary elections, correct? And there was a desire, it seems, in the populace to see a change in government, with a lack of faith in the current government, and that the results that have been reported are being contested to not accurately reflect the desire for political change in the population.
Yes, in certain, it's important to clarify that this happened in certain areas. So in Sulaimania, for example, and in Kirkuk, the complaints from polling stations, or complaints from people stating that the results there were quite surprising, were much higher than elsewhere. But this is just one part of that's contributing to the protests in the south. It's not the reason. The reasons are, as I stated before, poor service delivery, unemployment, and a perception that the government is not doing enough to deliver the services that they should be delivering.
So electricity is one of the key complaints, correct? And one of the things that I find interesting on that is looking at the history. In the wake of the U.S. invasion of Iraq, there was a strong attempt by the Bush administration to privatize the reconstruction and then the delivery of electricity services, water services, and others. That failed, and then the reconstruction failed. Is Iraq still suffering from failed reconstruction in the wake of the war for electricity provision, water provision, et cetera?
So electricity supply has actually been slowly improving in the last decade, but production and delivery still fall short of demand. And this is especially in the summer months. That's part of the reason why these protests happened during the summer. To meet that demand right now, Iran was providing electricity through 5 tie lines, but transmission of that was often interrupted due to late payments on the part of the Ministry of Electricity. Iraq's oil ministry has said that oil tankers that were being sent from the Kirkuk oil fields in the north to Iran were actually payment for power and gas. So the sector has been improving. But in terms of delivery, it still falls short. It's still an issue, and like you said, there is also an extreme heat wave and drought in Iraq. For many months, local residents and farmers and some government officials have been complaining of worsening conditions of scarce and salty water that has made its way to Basra. I remember, at the start of the protests in July, a tribal council representing southern Iraqi tribes had issued a statement to national and local governments, pretty much blaming corruption and poor governance. And in the words of the statement they issued, they had said that the water can't even be consumed by the animals. Yeah, the protests are very much about inadequate governance.
Is there a politics to them beyond inadequate governance and ineffective service delivery? I mean, is there a demand set that goes beyond do a better job?
Is there a demand set that goes beyond do a
job? So what are the demands?
Are they asking for a different set of people in power?
Oh, I mean, they're asking for people in power who can deliver, an adequate set adequate services. For sure, and the prime minister responded to that by suspending the Minister of Electricity as a result of those demands, and also pushed by the sermons of Sistani. Yes, that's definitely the perception that those in power who are supposed to provide these services aren't doing their jobs, and therefore they should be pushed out, is definitely something that the protesters are demanding.
And there have also been deaths in the wake of the protests. What's the nature of that occurring?
Yes, there have been instances of protesters being injured, and there have been a few deaths as a result of altercations with the security forces in the south. There's protests in different areas, and some are more violent than others, but there are instances of violence. I was speaking to a senior Iraqi government source, and this is a source of dilemma, because the government does respect what was told to me is that they definitely respect the right of protests to occur, and they believe in what the protesters are saying. But there is a dilemma when it comes to, the threat of violence, either because of elements within the protesters who want to maybe take advantage of the situation because of frustration, there is a point where the government feels they have to respond. Especially in southern Iraq, near the oil fields, there is an ongoing sit-in.
Actually, I was going to turn there next. Can you talk about, so one of the sites of protest is the West Guarna field, which is run by ExxonMobil. It's one of the largest oil fields in the world. Exxon, of course, gained access to that oil field as a result of the U.S. invasion and has held it since that time. And this is the location of the continued sit-ins. Can you talk more about the nature of those protests and the goals?
Right. So these are super giant oil fields. There's West Guarna 1 and West Guarna 2. West Guarna 1 is operated by Exxon, as you said, and West Guarna 2 is operated by Lukoil. The focus of those protests in that area in particular is to convince the government to increase to provide more jobs to local Iraqis. So with unemployment so high, and remember that much of Iraq's population is made up of young people, there's a perception that oil companies are taking Iraqi jobs and Iraqi wealth. And this is especially the perception among people in Basra, the province that accounts for the majority of Iraq's oil production. That's why protests are frequent around Basra's oil fields. And often the demand there is for jobs.
And you're saying redirection of resources back into Iraq, because it's also the case that as a result of the invasion and the rewriting of Iraq's legal structure, though Iraq is still 90% dependent on oil revenues, the vast majority of those revenues do go abroad, and the vast majority of the oil goes abroad as well, correct?
The oil revenues also account for much of state revenue, mm-hmm. So that's also government spending. When oil prices go down, as they did a few years ago, that really puts the government in a bind, because much of that money is used for public sector workers to pay salaries. So there was a point when oil prices were so low that the government, was struggling. And this is something that senior Iraqi government sources have told me, struggling to make those payments. So, it's not just that it doesn't all go outside. It's also a very important source of revenue for the government to run the country.
So the protests outside the oil fields in the south, are the oil worker unions playing any role in the protests, or is this just the people who live around there?
I haven't actually been following the oil worker unions. I think the protests or the Those who are protesting, the individuals out there, are definitely residents of Basra who would like to have more opportunities available to them to enter the workforce that makes up part of the oil sector. That is their demand. They're very much outside of that.
Okay. And one of the areas that you focused on previously is Syria, and that is the topic of your new book, Escape from Syria. And one of the effects that is being documented of the increased drought and heat wave in Iraq is the impact on the agricultural sector, the lack of water being made available in the south to agriculture, and that also leading to increased tensions. And as I understand it, part of what is attributed to the civil war in Syria was extreme drought in Syria, killing the agriculture sector and forcing people who used to live in the agriculture sector into the cities, putting increased pressure on the cities, leading to tension, helping to contribute to the civil war. Is there a concern that a similar process may be in the works for Iraq?
So Syria is obviously a very different context. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you that there is a movement of, with unemployment so high, people, and I think this is not uncommon for, formerly kind of agrarian economies, for people to make the move from rural areas to urban areas, often in search of employment as a country becomes more industrialized. I think that's certainly the case in Iraq. There is a movement of especially young people trying to find work, but I don't. And certainly I do think that the changes in climate over time will exacerbate the current conditions, and these conditions are bringing people to the street. It's very difficult to say, it's very difficult to say whether Iraq's the development in Iraq will mirror that of Syria. I think there are several reasons for why it's not it wouldn't be fair to make that comparison right now, but for sure changes in climate, in water supply, the quality and quantity of water supply will exacerbate the current situation, and a lot of that will depend on a lot of how that develops will depend on what the government does. I do know that the government is taking it quite seriously. They did form a committee headed the prime minister did form a committee headed by the oil minister, who is from Basra, to try and take into account what the protesters are demanding, because it is important for them, because it also affects the oil sector. It affects the economy in the long run. It affects perception of investors. So a factor will be how the government responds. And I think you can't really make the comparison on that level with Syria.
Right. That's a very important distinction. The government of Iraq is significantly different from the government of Syria. And also the overall economic conditions are significantly different. And that's thank you for making that critically important point, I guess. And that's very hopeful as well, that we wouldn't see that. I guess the sort of initial concern is looking at that more the issue of climate change impacting civil unrest, and then where that could spiral to, because I'm looking at reports from southern Iraq saying that villagers from 20 different villages have already been displaced due to the drought. Former agrarian areas are hoping to maintain themselves as agrarian areas, but have been displaced because they can't do that anymore, and that putting more pressure into the urban areas. And it sounds like what you're saying, at least right now, we have a government in place in Iraq that at least is significantly superior to that is in place in Syria and its capacity to deal with this type of instability.
I think another important factor just to mention is the practices of farmers in Iraq are also seen as, or I mean, experts have said, and you know, government officials have also said that there needs to be some changes in the methods employed by farmers, because currently the current method is wasteful of water. So there also has to be changes in that area as well. So it's government policy, but it's also you know, on the ground, the methods that are being employed also need to change as well.
Do you think the protests are going to conclude anytime soon?
Working in Iraq, I've learned that it is a fool's errand to try and make predictions. But what's happening right now is the protests are continuing and have been continuing for several weeks. However, there are temporary halts when, in certain cases, you know, protesters reach some kind of agreement with either the local administration or the security forces, who sort of make promises to address their demands, make meetings with certain officials who are in a better position to hear their demands and maybe even, you know, implement some solutions. So that's been going on and off.
Okay.
And in some cases, you know, they fall apart. The promises aren't kept, and they go back to the street, or they go back to the field or the gate and continue their sit-in. So there is a negotiation going on, and it's definitely in the interest of the government to listen to them and implement some kind of solution.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Our guest was Samia Kulab, a senior correspondent at Iraq Oil Report, covering oil security and politics in Iraq. She works in both Erbil and the Baghdad bureaus. We're fortunate to have her today with us from New Jersey, where she's on book tour for her new book, Escape from Syria. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.